name's Amado Rodriguez. I'm Pastor Mike's older brother. Some people, my older brother, but that's not the case. And brother, can you turn me up like powerful? Like just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No. So I don't take myself that serious, guys. So you know, I'm gonna tell you, it's been a journey. No, I was just messing around, but don't turn me up. But you know, I'm blessed today. It did come to develop more relationship with my daughter, you know, when she was a little one. And to be here today and to see both of my kids and my family serving is just a blessing. I can't tell you how blessed I am. And my brother's going to be listening to this sermon, so I'm going to go ahead and rub it in right now. My mom and dad are both here. So, muchas gracias, Maya, papá, por venir ahora. Mike, my dad's here. Got you, bro. But I tell you what, my brother does a lot, and I mean, I just astonishes me what he does, because you know, to sing, to prepare, and he does a really great job of doing the preparation. And I told him earlier this week when we were preparing, he's like, you know, I've been in church, you know, in off for about, I don't know, close to 10 years, and I've learned a lot, not because of C3, but I've learned a lot in this past year when brothers, because there's a lot of more preparation, a lot more in the handouts and stuff, and at first I was like, my brother's showing off, he's a nerd, you know, but now, you know, it actually, you know, looking at the pictures and getting handouts and writing down, you know, things are starting to, I've managed to retain a lot more than I have in the past. And I really appreciate all his hard work and effort. And I was going to try to mimic my brother today. I really was. I was going to try to sing too, but my daughter rejected me. You know, she didn't make, I didn't make the cut. So, but she's kind of got you, huh? All right. So, and my journey has been an up and down one. I started out, you know, at LVC, and jumped into a role as men's director there fairly quickly. And, you know, things are moving along for a while. And, you know, it's just you got to always be prepared and continue to build yourself when you're stepping into the role. And, you know, I was attacked, you know, about 8 years ago. And I went through, put myself and my family through very difficult times. You know, I fell into, you know, it, and I'll touch a little bit about that today, because, you know, this is, I've been, you know, I haven't drank in, I don't know, 7 years. And this would be probably the first time that I'm actually going to share about it. Now, when I first stopped drinking, I was like, ready to go share, you know, go say the word. It's just like God's timing, you know. And I remember God telling me, you're not ready yet. You need to establish a little bit more. So this would be probably, for the most part, the first time that I'm actually, you know, opened up a little bit about that. Like, one thing I've learned from my brother is I don't want to highlight the sin. You know, I want to highlight Jesus, what he's done in my life. So I'm not going to sit here and tell war stories and stuff like that. So, so that being said, let's go ahead and open up. We're going to go ahead and start on the book of John today. And we're going to continue the message delivery like my brother. You know, we're going to open up with the scripture, do a little bit of the geography maps and then touch on the handout. So today we'll be reading on John chapter 5, verses 15. And before I start out, Father God, thank you for a wonderful day, Father God. I just ask that you just give me the words, the spirit flow, and that it be your words. I just love you and praise you in Jesus' name. I'm pretty simple, guys. You guys, is up there? Not yet? So John chapter 5. And this is touching on when Jesus was in full-out ministry with disciples, and he was going through Jerusalem. John chapter 5 reads, now bear with me, where are my glasses at? It's the first time I'm wearing glasses too, and I went to the eye doctor in Home Depot, and I got them right there at the register, and I noticed that I can read better with them. So I told my family, I went to the eye doctor at Home Depot. I don't know, I guess. Okay, so sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. And I've been saying vegetables, but it's the festival. Now there in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool. The Sheep Gate, which is Amorek, is called Bethesda, right, Giselle? Bethesda. And which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him laying there and learned that he had been there in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me. Help me into the pool. When the water is stirred, when I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which it took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leader said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, The man who made me well said, "Pick up your mat and walk." So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was. Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. So let's go back to the map. So like my brother shows a little bit of illustration on kind of, the city of Jerusalem and where the pool was. And it kind of shows, because sometimes when you read stories and you read, like I'm a visual person, so I have to kind of connect it with something kind of visual. And to show the map, and check this out, I'm prepared. Let's point the wrong way. I got a laser today. My brother, Mike, I got a laser. You never get a laser, bro. So this is the pool. This is Jerusalem in the 20 BC. And as you can see right here, this is the Mount of Olives, and this is the house of the Last Supper. But here's the pool of Bethesda. And go ahead and go to the next one. And so this is what it looks like. These are the pools right here. And it's important for me to see that this actually happened. Because sometimes you read these books and you're like, wow, it sounds like maybe it was made up or whatnot. But this, you can actually visit these places. Can you show the next one? It's like in ruins. And so this is actually what it looks like nowadays. And so you can actually visit where Jesus actually, went out and did his miracles, So these are actually places, Sometimes you kind of think, well, did that really happen? Where did it happen? And these pools were Olympic-sized pools, bigger than Olympic-sized pools. And believe it or not, they were 40 feet deep. So if they weren't cured, they would sink, I guess. 40. It's not funny, but I thought about it. It's 40 feet. It's pretty deep. So Bethesda means, the pool of Bethesda means house of mercy. Let's go ahead and go down to, now I'm going to break down the verses from 1 to 7. Jesus is in Jerusalem visiting one of the Jewish festivals at the pool of Bethesda. Many people sick, blind, would be lying around to see if they could be healed. So the legend had it that if an angel would come down and would stir the water, and the first person in the pool, would be cured of their transgressions or whatever their illness was. So, imagine an angel came down to Avocado Lake, stirred it up. How many people would be lining up to get cured for one thing? But it was similar to that, basically. Like my mom said, she went there the other day, said it was really nice. That's not going to go. Okay. All right. And so breaking down chapter numbers 5 through 7, Jesus meets a man who had been lame, unable to walk for 38 years. Think about it, 38 years of suffering and waiting. When Jesus approached, he asked, do you want to be healed? The question might seem obvious, but it is profound. The man responded with a simple yes, but did not respond with a simple yes. Sorry about that. Did not respond with a simple yes, but with an excuse on why he couldn't be healed when the water was stirred up. And that is why the man says, "I can't get in because nobody will help." We'll pause there. So if you think about it, in my testimony and things that we go through, I know for when I was going through, my dark days, and even growing up when I was a younger child, there was always a reason why I was so angry, why I had to intoxicate myself to. And also, it's just that we have these excuses that, you know, if only I had enough money, or if only I had this, or if my parents would have hugged me, you know. So I, a little bit about my testimony is, you know, my mom and dad, they came to the United States, and I had to stay in El Salvador. You know, it's a third world country, you know, for a few years until they brought me here. My brother, if you guys don't know, in the Hispanic culture, it's my brother. And he's the chosen one. He was born here, you know. But don't get it wrong, because my brother, my mom was pregnant with him. So he did cross three borders. So he's still a delinquent. He's still... Just kidding. No, he was... So he was the first one born here, and, you know, he's light-complected. And he's a really difficult brother to have as a brother. You know, you have me that, you know, learned English at, like, I don't know, fourth grade. And then my brother coming home with every award you can. He had his hair real parted, straight. You know, he stood straight. You know, even when he took pictures, his smile was perfect. You guys can see, he looked like a little robot. But he did. Everything had to be perfect, and he's got all these awards and whatnot. But anyways, me and my brother always got along really great. We always had a really great loving relationship. My parents, my mom and dad, did a really good job. Muchas gracias, Paima, por la crianza que los dio, por el apoyo que los brindó. They guided us well, and they were able to somewhat correct and do a lot of things. That I had a lot of anger. And so that anger, you know, was my, that portion of my life was the reason that I was angry. I didn't know who my mom and dad was until I heard it. Didn't address them as my parent. I was thought somebody else was my parent. Like my 12-year-old aunt was taking care of me in El Salvador. So you can imagine what kind of condition I came in. You know, I had worms. So, like, I was a rough kid, you know. And so those are some of my excuses why I was angry, and I had, you know. But early on, I used to go to church. Called Monaguillo, altar boy. So God was presented in my life, and God was in my life early on too, and it did help me and save me at that time as well. So just touching back, you know, bringing it back to, you know, we do have our experiences and our things that we in our way to basically our excuses and why we don't get the help. And another thing, like the excuse that I've been using lately is, you know, I don't have to, you guys know, most of you guys know I have bad knees. I almost fell down right now over here. I can barely stand at times. And, you know, my excuse is, you know, I don't have time to go. Pretty soon I might have to have my knees removed or something. But those are just excuses, right, that I have that we put in our way. So we just got to be honest with ourselves and first realize that we have to work on. So the first fill in the blank, okay, when God asks if we want to get healed, we need to be honest and admit that we need help. We not make excuses or blame others. Like, I have a problem with weight, so I make an excuse that tacos are good, you know. So that's my excuse. So during my dark times, I'm having a difficult time, and I was blaming everybody around. And one of the big things too is I've been a crisis kid, you know, for 15 years and whatnot. And one of the things is that got in my way was, a lot of us know, you know, what's right or wrong. And I thought I was smarter. I thought I knew it all, helping myself. And that was one of my roadblocks. Is I didn't want to hear anybody try to help me. I didn't want to hear, try to give me any kind of advice, because I've been giving this kind of advice for a lot of years. And so I was like, I know. I don't need you to help me. I know what to do. But it got to the point where I didn't recognize myself. You know, it got to the point where, you know, it started off, you know, as something as simple as, you know, barbecues and drinking. Now that, to me, still is probably the greatest thing in the world. If you barbecue and you drink and you can handle it, I think it's a great thing. Watching a football game or whatnot, I think. But after a while, you know, my just the devil took over, you know, and I got into a dark place to where that's all I wanted to do, is I wanted to feel good. I wanted to feel something. I just couldn't bear with my circumstance. And when you're going through that, you know, you don't see all the blessings. You know, I'm blessed to have my kids, my family, and I'm grateful that I still have them. But man, at the time, you know, you get overcome by these. And addiction is one thing, but there's also, you know, depression, anxiety, you know, just things that take over your life. You know, there's sin that, you know, that that you deal with that, you know, that bring you down. But in my case, you know, it was just the self-medicating and just trying to feel better about myself. But it got to the point I didn't even recognize who I was. You know, I didn't know who I was, and I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop. I used to tell myself, "How did I get here?" I couldn't imagine. I couldn't just really put it point how I got there. And I'll touch a little bit about how I, you know, was able to get out of it, you know, and able to overcome that. And so verses 8 through 9, then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." And once the man was cured, he picked up his mat and walked. The day in which place was the Sabbath. When you admit our needs for healing and surrender to Jesus, he can deliver us and set us free. And so during this time, you know, I felt that Jesus was with me, even though I was, but it started when I was probably at its worst. If Jesus hadn't been with me, then I wouldn't be. There was days that I don't even know how I made it through. And the way that I was able to overcome was it was something similar to like what Saul went through. I made a decision that I wanted to quit. From one day to the next, I went through a situation where I pretty much kind of died and died to myself. And remember, I was driving from Parlier to my house, which is only like a 10-minute drive, and I kept pulling over every like two, like a mile or so, because I kept passing out. And I couldn't breathe, and I was in and out of consciousness, and I don't really know what the situation was. But I already had made a decision that I was gonna. That was the day that I died, and the Holy Spirit came, and I started my days after that on my knees, that God to deliver me from the addiction that I was struggling with. One day led to the next, and now it's kind of foreign to me. You know, it's not really something new for me. It is a big deal, but at the same time, it's not something that I struggle with, that I feel like, you know, I miss it that much or anything like that. But you know, Jesus was the reason that I'm here today. Like I said, I got on my knee, but we got to identify that we have a problem as well. We kind of can go through life and, you know, kind of mask it like, it's not a problem. Nobody can see it. Jesus sees it all. Jesus sees my, okay. So we're going to verse 9 through 13. The day in which took place was the Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry the mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, where Jesus has slipped away into the crowd that was there. The key point 3 is your mat is your testimony. Carry it with you so people will ask about how you got healed and tell them about Jesus. And so when I first stopped drinking, I was so excited. I was like, man, I'm ready to start sharing. You know, I want to tell people how I was able to get out of this. A lot of people witnessed, because I'm a contractor, and a lot of people witnessed what I was going through, and they would look at me and they didn't recognize me. They were someone like, "Oh, this is not you. You're not like this, walking around angry, you know, yelling at people." It was and it wasn't me. And like I said, when I first, you know, started in my recovery, you know, I was excited, ready to, you know, start sharing what God has done. But it's important to share, you know, what we're going through. Obviously, more importantly, we got to continue to show Christ through us and what Christ is doing in our lives, so other people, but also show longevity, you know, not just, you know, a certain period of time. And so I remember when I was a crisis counselor, I was pretty proficient at talking to people, any kind of situation, any kind of circumstances. I've had a lot of experience. I worked on the suicide hotline, and that's actually where I met Jesse. And, you know, we're taking 20, 30 calls a night, you know, for 4 years. You know, I had established a lot of experience working and talking to people. But I remember that I struggled in one area. I struggled a lot with one area. And so I can connect with pretty much anybody at any time. And I would tell my colleagues, there's one area that I just can't understand. And that area was addiction. I couldn't understand. I just couldn't track the how people were lose themselves to an addiction, you know, because I had a relative that was, you know, in and out of, of using drugs and whatnot. And how they would lose their identity, you know, how that person just changed. It wasn't that person anymore, you know. So I just couldn't understand it. And just be careful what you ask for, because, you know, a few years down the line, then I ended up, you know, going through it myself, you know. But now I have a full understanding. Brothers and sisters in here that have had their challenges and things that you have gone through, whether it's depression, anxiety, or just, any kind of circumstance, but it's important for us to share our testimony, to be available to help other people, to give back and share what Jesus is doing in your life and be the light for other people in your lives as well. Correct? Amen. And I, like my brother, and we'll share this here at C3, is we're about it. You know, if you need support, because that's what this church is for, is to support one another. If there's a situation or circumstance that you need help or support, and that's our role here at C3, is to support each other, to fill in the gap, like my brother says, that, you know, meet people at their needs. And if you call me and ask me for something, I'm not just going to pat you in the back and tell you it's going to be okay. You know, and I don't have a magic wand either and tell you I'm going to cure you, but I will be there to support you as my brother as well. And I'm somebody that you can get a hold of at any time. That's been my life for a longest time. And if you know who I am, you'll know that I'll give you my shirt off my back, that I will be a person that goes and helps wherever the need is at. Are we busy? Yeah. Am I busy? Correct. But if we are establishing that we are C3 and that we're here to be authentic and we want to support and help, then we're going to be about it. So you can all, you're not going to bother me because this is something that I've gone through, and it's a gift that Jesus has given me as well. Look at how blessed I am with my family. I can't ask. I don't know how much more blessed I can be, you know. And at the same time, I got to be here to support, you know, brothers and sisters, you know. And I do my best. People around me, I try to, you know, encourage them, you know, come to church or, you know, or just do better for themselves, you know. If you ever want to get a hold of me, you know, reach out to me or reach out to my brother, you know, or ask me for my number, because I know that there's a need out there. And sometimes people don't know where to go. And I'm not going to, like I said, I don't have a magic wand, but I will do what I can to support and help. And that's what we're here for at C3. Amen?
I'm moving a little fast, though.
Good. Sorry about that, guys. I'll get better. So verse 14 to 15, later Jesus found himself at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well." Oh, I can't see. Sorry about that. Later Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse will happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. Point number 4, Jesus can heal us to make us whole, and he commands us to stop sinning. So recognizing you are in a spiritual battle, God gives us victory, but we can choose to go back to a life of defeat when we go back to our sinful ways. Don't relapse and go back to laying down on your spiritual mat. It's part of your testimony. It's not who you are. And this is also, there's not just a simple way, but let's just share a little bit about how I was transformed and how I need to maintain, you know, my sobriety, and also to continue to, you know, keep from sinning. Obviously, continue to grow with brothers and sisters, you know, continue to stay connected, you know, stay in the Word, you know. And also when we go through life, you know, there's a lot of things going on nowadays, and I don't really like to watch the news or anything, because there's just so many things. But I know that if I go through my day and I filter all the information and everything that goes through me through this filter right here, I filter anything that goes in my life through him. Then I make the right decisions. I make the right choice. And I continue to build my relationship. So I go my life, like I said, anything that decision I have to make, whether it's a job or whether it's a decision I have to make, and I'm going to filter it through here. I filter it through God's scripture, and that will guide me in the right direction. And we got to continue to build ourselves. That's a mistake a lot of people make. Some people will start relying on themselves, thinking that they're the only ones that got themselves out of a certain situation or circumstance, when Jesus is what gets you there. Another thing is, a lot of people want to come, a lot of people think that you need to be at a certain area or a certain status or know so much to come to Jesus. And Jesus wants you where you're at right now. Jesus, exactly where you stand and where I stood is exactly where we didn't have to, I didn't have to, you know, look a certain way or speak a certain way or know scripture in and out to come to Jesus. Because if we want to get right, you can't get right without Jesus the way it is. That's my testimony, you know, where I continue to grow through Christ, and it's important. It's important to grow and continue to move. And like I said, not to rely on yourself. Think you're the reason that you got yourself now. And also, you don't do it on your own. You know, there's a lot of people. Yo no salí de esto solo, ¿verdad? Estuvieron mi papá y mi mamá que rezaron y mi familia. Y les agradezco apoyarme. So also for us to continue to pray for relatives that we see that are hurting. And so moving forward to accepting, that one of the biggest things is letting go and forgiving yourself. That God is not able to, or we couldn't be forgiven for the things that we've done to ourselves and to other people. And the scripture that spoke to me reconnecting with Jesus was just the book of David. Okay, David. Some of you guys know I was a football player, so 51 was my number. I didn't pick it just because I'm 51, but it's Psalm 51. So this is the prayer that David, King David, used his downfall with Bathsheba. And I'm going to touch a little bit on that. King David, you know, he fell into a lustful relationship. He basically had an affair with his general's, one of his right-hand man's wife. And, you know, it started off as something as simple as, you know, he was overlooking and she was bathing. And that's kind of how sin kind of starts growing, right? Sometimes you're not really going out there looking for it, but it can start in a simple way, right? Like for me, it started in barbecues and just hanging out, you know, and then I just kept wanting that feeling, you know, I just wanted to kill. I wanted that barbecue never to end, you know? I don't know why, but I did. I used to love the barbecue. I have a trailer on 22s, so you know, like a barbecue trailer on 22s with spinners in there. I'm just kidding. No, but the sin of David, it started out in something simple, right? And then it grew into an all-out affair. And with who? With his right-hand man. But what he was trying to do, and kind of what I've done and what we do, is he tried to hide it. He went through all kinds of lengths to hide the fact that this happened, you know, that he had an affair. And then he tried to tweak it to where, you know, his general would get killed, or what happened was that she ended up being pregnant. So he tried to get the general to come back real quick, you know, before, in the middle of a battle. And he was like, no, I'm in the battle. I can't leave my guys. And that didn't work. So he could pretend that it was his kid. And then, long story short, he sent the general basically to the front line to get killed. But he went through a lot of lengths to hide it, to hide the sin, to hide. But you know, the scriptures talks about how a prophet came and prophesies what happened. What's a prophet? Who prophesies the word of God. And so his sin got revealed. He wholeheartedly came to God at that point to ask for forgiveness. And that's what Psalm 51 is, his cry out for. So Psalm 51 reads, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I know
my transgressions, my sin is always before me against you, and only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and judgment when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in the sacred place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be white as snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sin, and blot out all my iniquity. Create me pure heart, O God, and renew a satisfied spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me joy, your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressioners your way, so that the sinners will turn back to you. And this is one thing that, the one area that when you come to the Lord and we wholeheartedly, like for me, I got on my knees and I prayed and I asked God just the ability to overcome this grasp that this alcohol had on me. But one of the things is that we struggle with, and I struggle with, accepting God's forgiveness, having faith that God, I know when I'm here in the presence of other Christians and I'm in service, you know, you feel good. You feel like, I feel I've given it to God, and I'm able to walk away in feeling light, at peace, where I'm able to let go of the sin before a short period. And then before you know it, you know, maybe not coming to church or going to studies, before you know it, you know, you relapse to your sin or whatnot, and you really don't let go of the sin. You really don't believe that Jesus can forgive you, and you don't forgive yourself. And one of the things that I worked on the hardest to try to accept that Jesus has paid for my, and that I'm able to let go of that sin and move forward, so that way I don't walk around with all this sin on my back, and I can just be free and be able to live my life in peace that God gives me. And it's not all the skies don't open and all that good stuff, you know, but we have struggles. But I'll put it like this. This is the way that I learned to accept God's gift of mercy and forgiveness. A sister in the past shared with me, and it stuck with me. I'll give you an example. So if I'm, say it's my wife's birthday or my wife's or Christmas or whatnot, so I'm going out, putting a lot of thought and effort into it, and I know my wife's heart is cleaning. So I'm looking for the, you know, the Megatron Vac 2000 or whatever, a vacuum cleaner that does it all. Just throws laser beams and picks up dirt just like that. That's what I'm looking for. Back in the day was the 2000, now we're 3000, right? So the vacuum 3000, that's what I'm looking for. And I wrap it up and I get it all gift wrapped, and I put a lot of thought and effort because that's what my wife, you know, enjoys, to have a clean place. So that's what, so I give it to her. And then in my wife, she kind of looks at it. Okay, she accepted. But after about a couple of days, she just returns it right back to me. And so we want people to give us gifts back, right? For Christmas or birthday. Well, how would you feel? You know, and so that's, you know, but some people might make sense, but to me, it makes sense that I don't want to give a gift back. You know, Jesus has paid for it, and I'm okay with letting go. And that's one thing that I know that I struggle, and I'm not sure that you guys struggle, but it's hard sometimes to just grasp that Jesus can just forgive us, can forgive ourselves. And it's very important that we accept the gift. We accept the gift. And that way we don't walk around heavy. We can be light, and we can move on with our lives. And that's what really helped me not relapse or go back. It's just, you know, I really do accept God's gift. I'm okay, and I don't care what people say or what. And I apologize for what I've done wrong for people, but God knows my heart, and that I mean no harm to other people. And if I did, but it's very important that we be able to come genuinely, have an encounter, and ask for forgiveness. Share God's love with other people, what He's done, or share our testimony, so that we can continue to build. Amen. So in closing, I'm good. So in closing. Just to, you know, recap, we're We want to be able to know that Jesus is our way, and also to continue to build ourselves up in God's word, not only to build ourselves up, but also plant seeds with other people and with our relatives and friends. We all want to share the light with them. We want to share God's gift with our loved ones. And sometimes all we can do is plant a seed. We want to grab them by the ear sometimes and just, come on, it's right here. And more often than not, we start working harder than our relatives, but we want to be able to plant seeds. And if we're blessed enough, we get to see the fruits. I'm a very blessed man. I have my fruits right here, my children that are involved in church and whatnot. And I have my brother, who's a pastor, and we're in service together. But all I say is stay encouraged. Continue to use the people around you. We're a community. Use the resources that are out here. We're here for you guys. We're here to grow with you, support and grow with each other. Like I said, don't think you're bothering any of us, because that's what we're here for. We're here to support each other. And I know that I was very heavy on the addiction part, but this speaks to a lot of different. This speaks to depression, anxiety, lust, and there's just a lot of there. But we, and I apologize, but that's my that it was a little heavy on the recovery and addiction today. But that in general, it speaks to sin. Let us pray. Father God, I'm before you in the name of just love you and praise you, Father. And I'm grateful today. I'm grateful for the opportunity. I'm grateful for this, for our church. I'm grateful for everybody showing up today, Father God. And I ask that you bless their week, and that they also do an inventory in their heart, Father God. And if there is a need, to know that we're here to support them in their need, and that we're always available to help in the needs and to stand in the gap. Father God, I ask that you bless our week, bless our worship, Father God. And I'm just so grateful for what you're doing in SC3, and keep us safe and gather us next week, Father God. Love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray.